How would you like to be able to have the courage to build a large business? Christian Ray Flores will tell us how. He is a coach, evangelist, philanthropist, and he has built and advised startups, raised millions for businesses and missions, and coached top executives, founders, and creatives to sustain peak performance. He co-founded Third Drive Media, producing content that moves audiences and fuels innovation, and leads Exponential, where he empowers high achievers to maximize success and significance. So, Christian, tell us, what does it take for someone to build the courage to be disliked so that they can have the courage to build a large business?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Well, I think, thank you for having me, Lily, first of all. And I think it's a great question. I think most people will never build a business or a successful business precisely because of what you mentioned, right? The courage to potentially fail, to be rejected, to be disliked, to be criticized. It's the fear. It's a very primal fear. We're very tribal people. And if you don't overcome that fear, that primal fear, it's going to be very, very hard for you to build anything of significance. It could be a nonprofit, a mission, a business, a big sort of creative career even. And that is the thing, that's the first thing to develop a skill to overcome, that I think it's as a lot of people skip that and they focus on tactics, right? Okay, what are the methods? What's the latest AI? Or how do you find the money? All those things are, those are tactics. We need to focus on a strategy. Strategy is who do you become, the kind of person you become that attracts investors, ideas, collaborators, people that want to support you, work for you, etc. That's the big question.
Great. So tell us, how can someone become courageous if they are genuinely fearful of everything? They're fearful of raising millions for their startup. They're fearful of speaking to the investors that could give them money. They're fearful of, even if they were to attract the right people into their lives, investors and the right business collaborations, they're afraid of actually closing the deal because they're afraid of showing up. They're afraid of not being good enough. They're afraid of like so many different things. How can someone overcome those massive fears and do things anyway in spite of fear?
Well, actually fear is not necessarily a bad motivator. If you know how to frame it, right? So I'll give you an example. So if you grow up poor, a fear of poverty, I'll never go back to this ever again, it's actually a good motivator. You can reframe it rather than I'll always be poor. That's a very different mindset that comes from the same exact place. You know, I grew up all over the world. I grew up in third world countries most of my life. And one of the things that I did want to change is to have a certain level of reputation, something that I offered to the world that was so valuable that I will never be a cog in a machine, for example, right? That was one of my things, that I will have choices. If I don't like a particular place in my world, it was a country with an oppressive regime, for example, I would have a set of skills that will translate and solve other people's problems anywhere I go. So that's a negative motivation reframed into something that drives you forward. Does that make sense?
Yes. So how does someone act in spite of fear? What would someone do to kind of like, yes, you can reframe your fear into a big motivator, but what if someone doesn't know how to do that?
Well, I would say, I mean, fear is very biological, actually, you know, if you think about it, right? You have a negative thought, you're anxious about a presentation or a conversation, you want to have a pitch, and your brain will produce stress hormones, and it, like, basically it's a chain reaction. And people can actually stay in that for a long time. If you're very tired, you'll stay in that for a long time. If you don't have the techniques and the lifestyle to support something else, you will stay that for a long time. More Americans than most Americans are in perpetual stressful behind kind of state of being, for example. So all of those things, they accelerate fear, they multiply fear. And reversing that is really a matter of going, okay, first of all, I can do it. And I can promise you, for example, some of the people that I work with, they're usually behind, stressed out because of the complexities. There's a lot is at stake. They're usually in some sort of leadership position. So they've gotten used to being in that sort of survival mode for a long time. And what I say to them is, I can get you out of that in a week. And if you pay attention and you work with me, you'll be able to get out of that kind of state within an hour of being in that state. And that changes everything, because you can't really build a new future if you're stressed out and not creative and not passionate, joyful, creative, in a state of flow. You can't imagine a new scenario to overcome an unexpected obstacle. You can't create something innovative if you're not in a creative mode. If you're stressed out, you're going to guarantee to over the long haul to stall, to plateau, maybe hit a wall. And if you change your lifestyle, if you understand how fear works, how anxiety works, you can have an unfair competitive advantage over other people.
Thank you. What mindset shift needs to happen so someone can become courageous to build a large business and raise millions for their startup?
Well, I think a mindset, well, as I said, learn how to not fear. That's one thing. And that's on a very basic level. So if the first thing you do in the morning is look at your phone, and your first flow of thoughts in your mind is, I'm behind, and I have like 15 things to do, and I know that I'm not going to be able to do more than 10. You're not going to be courageous. You're going to be anxious. That's one thing. So developing a mindfulness practice, a prayer practice, a meditation practice, a journaling practice. If you don't allow your body to be your ally in those things, right? So if your body is not conditioned, is not mobilized to help your mind, to increase your even cognitive abilities, you're not going to be courageous, right? If you don't learn new things, because everybody has weaknesses and not only weaknesses, but actual blind spots. Like, you're good at 5 things, but you need to know 50 things about to be a successful builder of stuff, right? If you don't learn those, at the very least on the basic level, the things that you need to succeed, you're not going to be courageous, because you're going to fail too often, right? Those are just basic foundational, like almost like building blocks of courage. It's not just that you're going to be like this assertive, you know, hype person. That's not courage. That's just emotions. If you want to be courageous, build the foundational building blocks, have the discipline, develop character, understand how to overcome obstacles, figure those things out inside of yourself. Then you overflow with courage. That comes across as courage, because you are more resilient than others. You're anti-fragile. You become actually better through hardship. You know, so that's sort of the to answer your question, most people look for tactics. And what I'm telling you about is strategy. You know, it's not about coming across as courageous or acting courageous or speaking courageous. It's about being courageous in your very core. That overflows with everything else.
Thank you. What about, let's say if I have a massive mission of impacting 100 million people, and I'm nowhere near that goal. And I think a lot of it is because of not having the courage to be disliked. What advice would you give me so that I can be empowered to show up regardless?
Well, I think you need to break it down. I mean, sometimes people hide behind over-the-top missions, you know? Like, if you want to impact 100 million people, okay, break it down to how to impact one at the deepest possible level. That's when it starts. I mean, really, people that create something of that scale, they don't really care about 100 million people. They care about one. They know how that person is motivated, what their pain points are, what will serve them better, what will improve their lives. You know, you care about the small things to get to big things. You know, I think Mother Teresa said, there's no big things, there's only small things with great love. So if love motivates you to help somebody in a very unique, particular way, you can build a solution that serves one, then 10, then 100, then a million. I think that's how it works. And people with that level of focus, when you say mission, missional people are not scale necessarily, right? Even something that is as sort of high scale as, let's say, an Elon Musk type of guy, right? He goes, okay, we want to colonize Mars. That's a big mission. And it does drive people. I think you're right about that part, right? When you paint the vision that is so beyond what anybody has imagined, it really captures the imagination. But I would say, okay, you can break that down into a very simple, I just love humanity. That's the main motivation behind colonizing Mars. I love humanity. We're unique. We're beautiful. We build civilizations. And to have this humanity, that all of that, all of these stories, these thousands of years of the human condition played out across the world in different cultures, in music and literature and generational inheritances of all kinds of things, science lost because of what, climate change, a meteor hits the thing, or somebody blows each other up with nuclear weapons. That's an unacceptable proposition to me. That's why we need to make humanity a multiplanetary species. You know, does that make sense? So that's sort of how I see it.
Okay, but let's say if I'm currently playing small because of the courage to be disliked, I'm already helping thousands of people or tens of thousands of people. How do I break through my courage to be disliked in a way that I have the courage to show up on a bigger scale? Because what I find is, for example, in... you can say that because I'm an introvert. Okay. So I get, you can say, energy, and I'm in flow in bursts. So let's say sometimes I'm in a lot of flow and like everything comes to me and like so many opportunities and so many incredible people like you come to me. And it's like everything just flows and I'm so excited. And then what happens is like I tend to self-sabotage a lot. And I think it's because of the courage to be disliked, okay? And it's because of past trauma that I haven't overcome yet. And I wonder if there's any like magic pill I can swallow that will allow me to be like, you know what? The thing that matters is just that I did my best and I don't have to be perfect. As long as I did my best, then I don't have to self-sabotage when an amazing person like you comes to me. To let's say publish a book or you know do some sort of project. I don't have to like delay, you know, sending the proposal or you know do the sort of things that I do sometimes. And that's just because that's something I do sometimes because of fear.
I get it. Yeah, I understand what you're asking now. Well, I'd say, you know, okay, here's one magic community. That's a magic pill. The reason why that magic pill cures that fear of being disliked is that you are around real people who are sort of in your caliber, going in the right in the same direction you are. Let's say you share that. They might be building different businesses, different media projects, different types of outreaches, but they want to matter. They want to change the world. And they know you, and you know them, and you see their journey, and you see under the hood, right? You see that they're also fearful, and sometimes they're irrationally fearful, right? You see their anxiety. They see the sort of the origin story things that plague us. You said, you know, unresolved trauma, things like that. And they know yours, and you not only theoretically or intellectually, but you're experientially giving and receiving support and grace regardless. So, for example, I have my coaching cohorts going every week, right? So today I had one. And it's very impressive men in a group of, I think we had like 8 people today. And they're all building impressive things. And they're all wanting to have positive impact. And, you know, some of them are actual like legends. And they're vulnerable with each other, supportive with each other. And they overcome this fear on this very local level, like because they're known. But to build that, you have to build intimacy and trust, right? So every week they show up, although they're busy, although there's all kinds of things competing for their time, they show up at this cohort and they value this cohort because it reinforces that idea. Look, you are seen, you are loved regardless, and you're going doing the right thing, and we'll help you do that. We'll help you get there. So if you have this kind of deep community, which is what one of the things that I foster in my coaching, then you can look outside and there's, you know, 1,000 people, 10,000 people who are exposed to whatever it is, your YouTube channel, your book, your product, your service. And honestly, if some of them dislike you, which some of them will, it actually doesn't matter. And the truth is, they don't even dislike you in the first place. They might be having a bad day, or you're just not their cup of tea. That kind of stuff is irrelevant. It becomes irrelevant when you have a sort of a close proximity to a community that walks with you and knows you well.
Thank you. So how do you feel around people who, let's say, underappreciate you online? Is it that you simply ignore them, don't notice them, or there are not that many of them? Because generally, you do your best and you somehow vibrate at a higher frequency than many people. And because of that, you attract only amazing positivity online. And there's no, you know, there's no people underappreciating you. There's no people who are misunderstanding you online. And there's no people writing, you know, incorrect stuff about you online.
Oh, well, that's easy. I mean, how many... Let me ask you a counter question, which is sort of the answer, right? Like if you're talking about people who are essentially writing negative things as a comment to a YouTube channel or something, or a review of a book, how many highly successful people that have something to offer to you and are valuable to you would ever leave a comment like that online? And the answer is zero, zero. So if the person leaves something like that online, it describes really more of where they are at than when you're at. So the answer is you absolutely ignore. You don't even answer the comment. You just ignore it. It's that simple. And it's the price of having some sort of exposure, right? If you're famous for something, you're known for something. One of the costs of becoming known is haters, just people who have nothing better to do than just to leave a snarky comment.
Thank you. Tell us your 10 commandments for building an empire, building a large business, and how did you become personally courageous?
You know, I don't really, I can give you sort of my answers to things that you do with great passion and great devotion. Sometimes an empire happens, sometimes it doesn't. So like to give you an idea, one of my first professional successes was large because I became one of the top pop artists in Eastern Europe, right? So that's officially like unmistakably large because you have millions of people who know your name. You tour around the country, 15 different countries. You get sports arenas. People are singing your songs back to you. That's legitimately a large scale operation. But honestly, I shy away from that scale for me. And I literally eventually walked away from that or transitioned out of it to build something, things that are smaller, more intimate, that have more meaning to me. Some people are born to do large scale things, or some people are just, they just, you know, daydream about building large scale things and empires. I don't actually, you know, and maybe I did in the beginning and I got it and I thought, that's actually not what I want. So, but regardless, right, regardless of whether you're called to do that or you feel like this is your destiny, I would say if you ask me, okay, what are the Ten Commandments that resulted in that for me, for example, I would say this. I would say really know thyself, right, and trust that you have been given a unique set of skills. Even if you're doing this one thing, you can do that in a very unique way. So there's a lot of sort of inner exploration that has to go on for you to understand this is my distinctive edge. It's mine. Nobody else's. It's mine. So it's self-esteem, it's introspection, it's understanding exactly what that means and then executing on it, right? So when you execute on that, usually you're actually bad, even though it is unique. So then what are the repetitions necessary? If I trust this is what I have to offer. What are the repetitions? The incessant perfection of the thing that I have to offer. So that's the second command, right? Trust that you have gifts, perfect your gifts, and then have the discipline to multiply your gifts. How do you multiply your gifts? You build a personal brand, you build a product that you can be proud of, a service that is absolutely replicable, that goes beyond you. You build a communication framework or an educational framework, a course, a coaching business, a insurance business, a medical business, a chain of boutique hotels that all give people, you know, they can feel your presence. This is you. They follow you. This is your brand. This is your reputation. But that requires tremendous amounts of, you know, investment into multiplying your gifts. And then when things fail, which they will, how do you iterate very, very, very quickly without taking it personally? You know, how do you do it over and over and over and over again? How do you obsess over something like that? You know, until you start seeing, and I think that's what happens if you do all these things in that sequence, right? You start seeing traction. Now you have momentum. Momentum gives you self-esteem a boost. Now you have more people wanting to work with you or for you. Now you have investors that are coming your way because they see traction. But you don't skip those steps, right? I was talking to a young man a couple of days ago who is a filmmaker. He's wonderful. He's actually really talented. And I basically said, hey, so what do you want to do in 10 years? And he said, I want to do full feature films, high budget, full feature films. And that's what I want to do. I said, okay, so what are the skills necessary for that? And he said, you know, so he wants to build that empire, for example, right? He said, well, I can script, I can direct, I can shoot, I can do After Effects. He rattled off a couple other things that are really, really good. And they're all impressive, actually. I said, okay, so you're not going to get to that point with the things that you have. He goes, why? I said, because if I'm going to give you, let's say, imagine if I'm an investor. Like you probably, what's the cost of your basic film, even if it's an indie film? He goes, what, $3, $4 million. Okay, let's talk like this is the minimum viable sort of budget for an indie film. It's $3, $4 million. I said, okay, if I'm an investor, I'm looking at you and you just rattled off the things that you believe are enough for me to give you $3, $4 million. You have a massive gap. You think these are the things, but I think I'll rattle off a few other things to you. And I said, okay, here's what I want to know about you, not believe, because I'm not going to part with $3, $4 million for no reason. I want to know, will you crack under pressure? I want to know if you can hustle. I want to know if you can actually convince an A-list actor to work for free for you to boost your sales. I want to know that you have a social following. So if you say something, I shot a film, like 500,000 people want to go watch it. I want to know if you work well with finances. I want to know if you manage your family well or you have a drinking problem. I want to know, and I rattled off another 10, 5 things. I said, then I will give you $3, $4 million. Then I will give you $3, $4 million. And my question is, will you work on those things, those dimensions now? And how do you get there? So in a few years, you get all of those lists checked out. And it's not just a matter of if you're going to get $3, $4 million for your first feature film. It's just when.
That is fascinating. Tell us, what habits should someone consider implementing every day so that they can become more courageous to build a large business?
Well, I would say take care of your heart and your mind, your emotional and your spiritual health. That's non-negotiable. Take care of your body because your body contributes to your mental state and your abilities, you know. Develop a community of people who can, and it, you know, invest in them. You earn somebody's friendship and somebody's support. Find a mentor or a coach because these are the people that see around corners. They will save you years of mistakes, sometimes decades. Form partnerships that are collaborative. You have this, I have that, this other third person have this other thing. Let's work together. That's just and obviously publish. Develop a personal brand, a newsletter, a YouTube channel, a podcast, a series of books, a framework, something that you can teach other people to get you a following that will follow you from project to project, from early stage to the second stage to the third stage.
Thank you. Tell us, what gave you the courage to become a recording artist?
I wanted to do something distinct. Most of the people at the time that I was doing that were going because I have a master's degree in economics. So the more stable thing the more rational thing to do is to go into banking or finance or trade or academia. I wanted to do something bold, highly, highly risky, but I had almost like an inner knowledge that I have something to offer to the world that is unique. And I know that the probability of failure is really high, but I don't think I would be willing to live with myself if I hadn't tried. And I think that was probably the primal motive. The primary motivation was, if I don't do it now, I will regret it for the rest of my life. I have the rest of my life to live it out, but I definitely don't want to live with regrets.
Thank you. Like, the second I saw you, I just knew like you have superstar quality. And I'm wondering, do you believe that superstars are born or created?
I think they're created. Yeah, I don't think they're born. No. I think it's just layers and layers of things that happened for you, with you, against you, and how you process that, right? You process a certain persona, quality, a quality of a human being. That's what makes a superstar. It's really not external, it's internal, usually. It's an energy. But I think if you find any people who are distinctive in any situation, like business or fashion or whatever, you'll find just beneath the hood, right? Under the hood, a backstory, obstacles overcome, problems. And they just reframed it, right? They just found a way to recontextualize their hardships into something that they can offer to the world. And that gives them that sort of that weight, you know, that authority, that is inner authority. They don't have to prove it. They just show up, right? And the camera loves them, for example, or the book reader just seems engrossed by this simple language that is structured a certain way, or a business owner who walks into a room of potential investors and they don't want to give them the money, and then by the end of the conversation they do because they just trust in the human being.
Thank you. What is the secret to your success?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I'm a very good learner, you know, and I think that's, again, to illustrate that, why am I a great learner? I just never stop. I'm just voracious in the things that I want to learn. Well, when I was a child, I was a refugee at age 5. You know, it was my first memories were a refugee facility in Chile. You know, I'm half Chilean, half Russian. I grew up in 4 different countries, 3 continents. I changed all of those places by age 7. So if you're an outsider at that early age, over and over and over again, what you want is to fit in and to figure out people. How do I fit in? So I think that origin story really helped me to develop almost like an incessant desire to understand other people, which really helps in the world and in business as well. And also a desire to learn, you know, to understand how things work. And I would say if I were to pinpoint one quality that helps me sort of be successful, and I've changed like 5 different careers in my lifetime, I would say that is that this curiosity, this desire to learn, like a passion for learning, I just really enjoy it, you know? I don't have to force myself. I just do it. You know, I want to learn more about everything.
Thank you. How can someone flip a switch inside of them that turns them from ordinary to superstar?
I honestly don't think that happens. I don't think there's such a switch. I think you grow into it, you know, and it's layered, right? It's small things done, you know, with a lot of discipline and intentionality over years. Then eventually you can see almost like this, almost like a compound effect of this effort, and that you interpret that as being a star. And sometimes you interpret that as being a natural born star. I just don't think that's the reality of things, you know. It feels like that because it's just so off the charts distinctive. But those things, I think, are nurtured over a long period of time.
Thank you. How can entrepreneurs connect with you?
I have a newsletter that I think is probably a good connection point, just if you want to be, you know, if you want to have strategies about inner mastery, outer impact, how to develop a personal brand, how to develop a different future. You can go to christianrayflores.com, so my name.com, christianrayflores.com. And I drop 2 emails a week, Wednesdays and Sundays. I put a lot of effort into that. I have maybe 12,000 people following this. Usually they're business leaders, nonprofit leaders. If you feel like, okay, this guy has a coaching approach that is unique, that maybe speaks to me, just go to my coaching page. It's exponential without the E, starts with an X, exponential.life.
Thank you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.